Dr. Vogel's personal anecdotal experience with modifying the dose of capecitabine is certainly not the same as the clinical research report, and there are, in fact, a number of papers in the medical literature, including a recent retrospective study from MD Anderson, that explore dose reduction with capecitabine. However, every individual clinician must take into account all of this type of input in deciding how to manage their patients. The last patient I met from Dr. Vogel's practice on his modified dosing approach was a young woman with a prior history of a stem cell transplant.
Mrs. D was 29 when she was first diagnosed, and at that time, she was treated with some CMF adjuvant chemotherapy, and when she presented with a local regional recurrence, she also was a very proactive person. And at that time, it was in the era of high-dose chemotherapy and stem cell transplant. And I was never a dyed-in-the-wool proponent, but she fell into the category of patients where she was stage 4 NED. And I felt that at that point in time, if there was any group of patients who might benefit from that approach, that we should try it. So we did, and she had high-dose chemotherapy, stem cell transplant on a Duke University protocol. She received also some thalidomide on protocol and then was maintained on tamoxifen thereafter. She subsequently developed a mass in the right neck in June of 2002. Her CEA increased up into the many hundreds, and she tried different hormonal therapies, including letrozole and fulvestrant. And then she was treated on the same clinical trial that one of our patients was on before, trying to optimize the dose of docetaxel and capecitabine. She received a really tolerable dose of these medications and really didn't have that much problem. She received 30 milligrams per meter squared of docetaxel and capecitabine at basically a gram twice a day, 14 days. And then her supraclavicular nodes disappeared and her CEA decreased from 272 to 82. But then in October of 2004, she developed right cervical and mediastinal adenopathy, and we tried to actually treat her with some radiation therapy, try to eradicate those foci of disease. Then she developed another metastasis in the left posterior neck, a very strange presentation. It was actually a subcutaneous lesion that measured about 2 centimeters in size. It was surgically removed, and she was treated with Xeloda, basically in the stage 4 NED situation, and her tumor markers have continued to regress on capecitabine at a dose of 2 grams a day, total dose. And she's been on this now for about 8 months, leading a normal life with tumor markers continuing to come down and with no manifestations of recurrent disease.
Any side effects, toxicity?
Very, very, very few. Hardly anything to mention.
In this kind of situation, how reliable do you think tumor markers are?
Well, I know what the guidelines say, but we have patients where they have been absolutely predictive of what's going on. We do have the occasional patient where, even though they have elevated markers, they sort of bounce around and they're not particularly predictive of what's really going to happen. But for people like Mrs. D, they've been really quite helpful. I find them quite helpful in forestalling major imaging workups. If you find the patient's symptomatically doing better and their markers are going down, so you can hold off on that CAT scan of the liver or PET scan for another month or two. So I think it probably saves money in the long run.
What do you observe? She's been dealing with breast cancer since her late 20s. Children, husband, etc. How have you observed her sort of dealing with this?
She's another very upbeat, lively, vivacious young woman with considerable joie de vivre, and she likes to joke around quite a bit, and she's a really fun patient to deal with.
In women of all ages, how much of an advantage do you think it is to use a regimen that doesn't cause alopecia and metastatic disease?
I think it's great. In terms of my philosophy of care, I guess I'm countercurrent to many in the field. I mean, there seems to be a knee-jerk reaction to start with docetaxel and doxorubicin, and everybody loses their hair, and if you're going to go to chemotherapy, use your big guns up front. It's very common for me to reach fourth or fifth line chemotherapy without ever having used a taxane or an anthracycline. If I'm going to use an anthracycline, I'm more likely to use a drug like stealth liposomal doxorubicin. That's one of my agents that I like to use, non-alopecic producing, gemcitabine, vinorelbine, capecitabine. These are all single agents that have very good quality of life profiles, do not cause alopecia, and we've been able to touch patients along for really quite a long period of time before having to resort to more aggressive regimens to try to gain control of disease.